Hello, my name is Hans de Jong. For the next 2 hours, I'll be leading you through the special Audio Renaissance presentation of the Silver Mind Control Method for Success and Self-Confidence. The Silver Mind Control Method was researched and developed by Jose Silva of Laredo, Texas, over a 22-year period of time between 1944 and 1966. Since 1966, the 36-hour Silver Method course has been given worldwide, and now in the 1990s, it's taught in every major city in North America, as well as in 73 other countries in 17 different languages. The Silver Program has taught millions of people worldwide how to use both the left and right side of the brain effectively. In its simplest terms, the left brain is logical, while the right brain is intuitive and works on mental pictures. Outstandingly successful people belong to the 10% of the population who can use both sides of the brain effectively. In the course of this tape, you'll learn how you can quickly and easily increase your level of success and self-confidence with the Silver Method, as well as learning the power of concentration and persistence, and the value of setting goals. Additionally, I'll describe very specific methods and tools to set, achieve, and enhance those goals. My favorite definition of success is: success is the progressive realization of a worthwhile goal or ideal. Now, I would like to add to that, that success is also enjoying the journey as well as the destination. The steps to success in the 1990s are the same as they have always been. 1. Know precisely what you want and have a strong desire to accomplish it. 2. Be willing to do whatever steps are required of you to fulfill your goal, to take actions that will propel you towards your goal, and to stop doing what will take you away from your goal. 3. Cancel out all negative thoughts along the way and maintain your belief, expectation, and positive focus on your end result. 4. Be persistent. 5. Program your end result at your alpha level by regularly listening to the special mental relaxation exercise with success imagery on side 3 of this audio tape set. In the booklet that is enclosed with this tape, you'll see by the quotations that many successful people, superachievers, and great minds strongly believe in these specific steps to success. Let's start with a brief explanation of brain and mind functioning. Please open your workbook that accompanies this tape set to the brain chart on page 2. The numbers you see in the middle of the chart indicate brain activity. Your brain vibrates in a cycles per second brain rhythm as measured on EEG equipment. The way you are right now, eyes open and focused, your 5 senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch, fully operative, means you're functioning at about 20-21 cycles per second at the beta level, and you're conscious of time and space. This relates to an outer conscious level of mind. Slower vibrations between 7 and 14 cycles per second are known as alpha brain waves. Alpha is not involved with the physical world and the physical senses. They are not necessarily aware of time and space in this dimension. And this is the dimension where we can use our intuition, our subjective senses, to get information and to help accomplish our goals. We relate this to the inner conscious levels of the mind. Throughout these tapes, you'll hear me refer to going to level, or I'll suggest to you to do something at level. What I'm referring to is the act of purposely allowing your mind to operate at the alpha level, which is a technique that I will teach you on tape 2 of this program. I designed this tape program in a specific manner. Side 1 and 2 are informational, educational, as well as motivational, and you'll learn very specific success strategies. Most of this information was taken from one of my recent seminars. You can listen to tape 1 at home, at work, when you're driving, or when you're exercising. It can be used anytime, anywhere. Tape 2 is totally different. Side 3 has a specially adapted mental training exercise for success, with the alpha sound in the background. And on side 4 is just the alpha sound in 2 sets of 15-minute exercises. The exercises on tape 2 are done with eyes closed and, of course, should never be used while driving. Let's get started in making you more successful. Join me now at my seminar with an explanation of self-confidence. How do you become confident in anything? Is it not through repeated successes that you become confident? That's how you become confident. When you do something and it comes out the right way, and then you do it again, and it comes out the right way again, and then you do it for the third time, and it comes out the right way again. By the time you do it for the 14th time, you're going to be pretty confident because you have all those previous successful experiences. So, that is what you do. You create practice with things till you become good at it. And then you have your successful experiences, and at that point you don't have to wonder anymore. Because the successful experiences will already tell you that you can expect another successful experience. So, how do you become more successful? Success breeds success. You go from little successes and build them to the bigger successes. That's how you do it. So that is why, for instance, I say, write down your previous successes. Take a piece of paper. You know, take a piece of paper, write down what are the things that you have done successfully in the last 12 months. Then take another piece of paper and go back in time. In other words, take the last 12 months. Then maybe take the last 2 years prior to the last 12 months, or depending on your age, go back in 5 years or 10-year increments. Let's define what I mean. Successful experience, I mean what made you feel good upon its accomplishment. Not somebody else's successful, that somebody else proclaimed as a success and you did not think it was a success. Only if you felt it was a successful experience, is it a success. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you, bought a car or did something in the material world. It can be anything that makes you feel good. Most people remember all their failures. And then you say, successes? Oh, let me see now. That's a tough one. We'd have to think about that. Tell me about the times you failed or you had a failure situation. Oh, sure, Hans. Would you like that in alphabetical order? Would you like that in numerical order? Would you like that by month? And people will remember back from day 4 when they were born. You know, I burped in my mom's face. I failed. Guess what you're going to attract when you remember all your failures? More failure. You see? There are mental laws, just like there are physical laws. And one of the mental laws is like attracts like. Like attracts like. You want more success in your life? Start immediately doing what I just said, making those lists, and start reviewing your lists before you make your next important goal. Go and review mentally. Do the same thing that you normally do when you worry. In reverse. What does a person do when they worry? They sit there and they review all the possible bad things that can happen, right? Isn't that worrying? You do the opposite.
On page 10 of your workbook, you see a heading that says, My Previous Successes. Here is where you make a list of the successful experiences you've had in any area of your life, starting with the most recent and working back in time. Now, the next time you have to go out to see someone for an important meeting, or you're ready to start some important undertaking, you first, slowly, review your previous successes with a real emphasis on how you felt at that time. And then you will approach the meeting, or whatever it is, with that same feeling of success and be just as successful again. A successful self-image is critical in creating ongoing success as opposed to failure. Like attracts like, and if your self-image is based on past failures, you will attract more of the same. Now, if your self-image is based on past successes, then you can, and will attract more of the same, and a richly rewarding life. And that is the value of writing down your past successes. Build your new successful self-image around those and future successes. Just remember, you are in control. Even if you have the lowest self-image possible and suffer from total lack of self-esteem, you don't have to stay that way. Change it. You can write it down on page 11 of the accompanying booklet. Write, "I have a positive self-image." Underneath that, write down the key characteristics of your ideal self-image. It is your new, successful self-image blueprint. Refer to that and your list of past successes and future goals constantly. Writing these down helps you to keep focused. When reading them, visualize the statements with a strong feeling. Don't follow the tired old script written for you by your family, friends, school, and society. If it's not working for you, write your own script, but do write it down. Remember to review your successes frequently. The most important thing about your goal is that you really want it. Do you really want it? If it is a wish, guess what's going to happen? You do not want it. Do you really want it? I remember a man in class some years ago, and he was a dentist. And he says, "I don't like being a dentist." I said, "Well, how come you're a dentist?" He says, "Because my dad is a dentist. And I didn't know what I wanted in life. So I'm a good student, I went to school, and why not become a dentist?" So after 15 years of that, he is now, you know, middle-aged, 45 or so. He doesn't want to do it anymore. What do you want to do? "I want to be a painter." A painter versus a dentist? "Yeah, that's what I really love to do." "So you're serious about it? Do you really want to paint?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Start painting." "Well, what about the dentistry?" I said, "Sell it. You have lots of money coming from an experience. You have tons of money for that. Sell the thing. Can you not live off what you..." He says, "Yeah, I could." I said, "If necessary, could you work part-time in another dentistry if you were to need money?" He says, "Well, of course. I'm very well liked amongst my peers. That would be no problem at all." I said, "If you really want it..." Now, you have to think about that. I know you're just making small talk with me that I like to paint and we have nothing to discuss. But if you're serious about it, take action and do it. If you're not willing to do it, then you're not really interested in becoming it. Very simple, right? If you really want something, you're willing to do whatever it takes, don't you? Within the realms of reasonableness, right? And fairness, not hurting other people and so on. You understand the premises here, aren't you? Think about it. If you really want some, aren't you willing to do whatever it takes? If you truly want it, if you truly want it, you are. If you're not, you don't really want it. That's the key ingredient right there. That's your check. That's how you know. You tell me what you want, and I'll tell you whether or not you're going to get it. It's not a force powerful enough in the world to stop you. Because so few people will come on that direct that the world opens up a path for you when you do it that way. Let's suppose, use your imagination for a second, let's suppose that you would win the California lottery next Saturday and you get $5 million. Now, $5 million you don't have to work for a living anymore, right? Okay, I'm going to give you a year to get all your travel out of the way. You can go to all those places you say you want to go to for a whole year. Now you want to do something with your time. Whatever you want to do now, that is what you really want. And then I ask them the question, people say, "I would love to open up a little restaurant." Okay, that's what you want. "I would love to write." Okay, write. "I would love to open up my own little business." Do it. "I would love to become a lawyer."
First chance to win the lottery.
But you understand, the premise on figuring out what you want is to sit back, exclude all the must-do things, and say, what if
I could do anything I wanted to do without having to be concerned about finances. What would I do? And whatever you then truly comes to you is what you have a real interest in. And let me tell you, if you have a true, real interest in it, it means that you're capable of doing it. If you were not capable of doing it, it would never occur to you. You know, you and I always justify our actions. Oh, yeah. You and I make a choice, and then we justify our action. That is what your left brain is very good at. The reasons you and I come up with are always false. I have one that I use in myself. When I start coming up with justifications for not doing things, or for doing things, I say, the reason I'm doing that is because the sky is blue. That's the real reason. Because you and I both know that a man could have been painting for 20 years by now, right? I mean, you can paint any time. Why not paint from 11 to 12 at night? Or from 6 to 7 in the morning? Well, I mean, what's the big deal, right? Why not? You want to write? We have writers here, people say, I want to write.
I get up at 4.
Why aren't you writing? Well, we come up with the reasons, right? Anyone here who is able to write one word? Anyone here? Anyone here who is able to write one word? Can I see your hand if you can write one word? If you can write one word, you're a writer. It is word after word after word forms a sentence. And the sentence form paragraphs. What if you don't know how to spell? It's okay. You have wonderful editors who will spell, make all the corrections. You can buy a typewriter that will beep at you when you misspell words.
If you want to be a great writer, write it down, but always in the present tense and always in the positive, never in the negative. Don't write, I will be a great writer. Write, I am a great writer. I write a page of my novel every workday. Affirm this frequently, and then do it. Once again, I want to emphasize the importance of writing it down. Write down your positive affirmations on a 3x5 card and carry it with you in your coat pocket, purse, or wallet. Look at it several times a day. Using an affirmation doesn't mean that you mindlessly repeat a phrase over and over. If you believe in the possibility of change and you infuse the affirmation with desire and passion, you can change your mindset at a subconscious level. And when you set your subconscious beliefs in line with your conscious desires, well, you've just multiplied your chances to succeed. Another success technique is to break down large, seemingly impossible tasks into smaller, doable units. To get back to our writer who can't write because all he can see is the big book and all those words looming in front of him. Forget the book. Write one page, no more. Not even if you get on a roll. Just write one page per day and only write on the weekdays. You can't do any writing on the weekends. Anybody can write one page per day. If you start tonight, right after dinner, and write just one page, and then tomorrow, write one page, in a year, you'll have a 262-page book, which is about the same size as most books by best-selling authors. Remember, use your affirmations to build your self-confidence. Break down big tasks into small tasks so you can add up each successful step to form the big successes.
How do you keep inspiring yourself to do whatever it takes? Like, I have to practice on the stenograph machine, and I have to put 5 hours. It's like a musical instrument mastering one. And it's just, I'm going to do it no matter what, but sometimes it just, you just feel like it's about to take your, you know, you're out running out of fuel. I mean, how do you keep the inspiration going?
You review the benefits. Why are you doing this? What is it what you want to be? Professional stenographer.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay, well, that's why you're doing it.
Right.
So when you get down and depressed a little bit, it's, oh, God, you stop and say, why am I doing this? You see, we forget to remember why we're doing this. you're doing this because you want to be a professional stenographer. Review the benefits. What's going to happen once you become a professional stenographer? Right? More money, prestige, you enjoy the work because you really would like to do that.
Because you're an independent contractor, actually.
When you get tired and depressed a little bit about the work you have to put in, it means that you have lost track of your end result. You've forgotten why for a second. That is when you get down. Because all you now see the drudgery. You've forgotten why you're doing this.
So it can be the same with dieting also, right? And smoking and everything.
Anything. In other words, review the benefits. If you wash the dishes in the kitchen, you're not doing it to wash the dishes. You're doing it to have a clean kitchen. So, what do you do when you feel that things become drudgery? What do you do with the negative thoughts?
Get rid of them.
Cancel out the negativity. Step one, you have a tool to combat it. You cancel out the negativity. What is step two after you cancel out the negativity? The positive end result. See yourself sitting, being the stenographer, see the nice paycheck you're going to bring home. See how much everybody can appreciate you for doing the work.
Visualizations are the key to speeding up the process of success. According to a Gallup poll conducted in the early 1980s, an incredible 66% of Americans polled in a survey said they were not happy with their lives and did not see much hope for major changes down the road. But you can make a change. Visualize your new life. Visualize every single detail of what you want. The new job or career, the bigger paycheck, the vacation in Hawaii, the new car, condo, or a house. If you want $3,000 a month as a stenographer, visualize depositing a $1,500 bi-monthly check with your favorite teller at your bank. Now project feelings into the scene. Feelings such as, this is great. I deserve this. Smile and strengthen the image with positive, warm emotions. In the 30s and 40s, Napoleon Hill said, what you can conceive and believe, you can achieve. He taught people to visualize success, and he made more people millionaires than any other single writer. In the 50s and 60s, Maxwell Maltz developed psychocybernetics and taught people to imagine success in the theater of your mind. In the 60s and 70s, Olympic athletes and sports stars started visualizing every single detail of a winning event. And records started falling like dominoes. In the 70s and 80s, medical professionals like Dr. David Bressler, Dr. Carl Symington, Dr. Bernard Siegel, and writers like Shakti Gawain, and consultants like Dr. Ken Dykewald began to record astounding results using what they call the body-mind connection, all one form or another of visualization. No goal is impossible. Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Schwarzenegger are both prime examples of the success of visualization. They've made visualization an integral part of their training techniques and their lives, and made millions doing it. So visualize with the help of Tape 2 and do it every day.
I read a definition of success that I always have liked very much, and I've never seen it in any dictionary. And it says, success is the progressive realization of a worthwhile goal. Nice one, isn't it? That means that you enjoy the journey, of course, as well as the end result. So you need to keep your positive focus, right? That is step number three. That's what we discussed. When you feel down and negative and doubts and fears creep in, keep your positive focus on your goal. Imagine that you're walking in a wooded area, in a forest that you've never been in before, and your end destination is a castle at the back of the forest. The path that you're on is a winding path. As long as you keep your eyes on the castle, you're not going to get lost, aren't you? No matter how much the path winds. So, that is your job. Your job is to keep in mind that that castle is where you want to go. And so you keep on focusing on that. No matter what happens in the meantime, that's irrelevant. You see, once you're there, you're going to enjoy the castle. Okay, so positive focus. And keep in mind, it is very human to get depressed and have doubts once in a while. All normal. You're just a normal human being when these things happen. And what you do is you acknowledge them, and then you get rid of them, and you keep on trucking. Right? Right. The physical actions that you do, are they getting you towards your goal, or are they getting you away from your goal? A lot of times people have a goal, but the actions they take are totally contradictory. If I want to be a stenographer, and I know I'm going to have to spend 5 hours sitting behind the machine, and then someone calls over and you say, you want to go shopping with me? Because you have such wonderful taste. And you say, yeah, that's a good idea. Now you're taking actions that are not propelling you towards your goal, but getting you away from your goal. Okay. So, does that mean you cannot go shopping? Of course you can. But do it at a time where it will not interfere with your goal. But a lot of people go around blabbing to everyone who wants to listen what they're going to do, which is, of course, a wonderful reason never to do anything, because they have used up all their energy telling everyone, and now they already have repeated it so much and so often to so many people, already are tired of it before they even started. Do not talk to people about your goals, to other people. Don't tell your neighbors and your casual buddies about what you're going to do. Now, there's one exception to that. If you have fellow silver mind control graduates, or when you're helping each other, sometimes people help each other, say, you program for me, I'll program for you, type thing, you know. You help each other. Or if you are very close with someone that you fully know will be totally supportive of you, of course. Let me give you a definition of self-confidence. Self-confidence is trust, self-trust. Reliance, you are relying upon yourself. Self-assurance, you are sure of what you're doing. Boldness, you're bold about it because you're confident. Now, the self-confidence is already there. You don't have to find self-confidence, you have to uncover it. In other words, you're self-confident in certain areas, right? People rather die than do public speaking. It's true. And I said, anybody can do that. And I said, oh no, I could never do that. Anybody here, right now in the room, who is willing to stand up and give a speech for 5 minutes on the topic of your choice? One hand, I see. Two, I see some half hands. See, what is that, 2.5 minutes instead of 5? Okay. Could you speak on the topic of your choice to your best friend for 5 minutes?
Yes.
Chance for chance.
For one day, for a week.
Could you do that? Could anybody in the room not talk to a friend for 5 minutes about the topic of your choice? Would you have to make notes? Would you have to rehearse? Would you have to think about what you're going to say? No, you say. That is how you do public speaking. You just focus on the friendly face in the crowd. The people that are sitting there, oh, I don't know about this, you know, you don't look too much at them. Because then the fear will come up, oh my God. You see. So, and you'll find that's it. And you find once you do a thing, anything, it is much easier, because we all tend to anticipate the worst possible things, right? And then you find when you really do it, it's not so bad. But you see, once you develop confidence in one particular area, you can transfer to another area. In other words, I feel very comfortable teaching silver, right? I'm very comfortable, but I really enjoy it. They asked me to MC a convention. I've never done this before. That's a totally different ball game. This is not teaching. This is being a master of ceremonies. Whoa. Wait a second here, you see. So I had to sit down, go to level, and transfer that feeling of confidence into this new task. And What is so nice about it is afterwards people said, well, I'm sure you have done dozens and dozens of them, but this was really very good. And I said, this was the first one I've ever done. You find that going to level is going to remove 95% of the nervousness by mentally rehearsing. You see, the brain cannot tell the difference between a real and an imagined experience. The brain cannot tell the difference between a real and an imagined experience. So when you go to level and you mentally stand in front and model, that is as good, as far as the brain is concerned, as actually doing it. So you're creating mental experience, which will give you more confidence now, you see. Mental rehearsal is used very much in professional sports nowadays for that very reason. Let me tell you how powerful mental rehearsal is. East Germany, about 13, 14 million people. Olympics in 1968, they won about, and I might be off one or two, okay? They won about 9 gold medals. 8 years later, 1976, they won something like 28. Which is ridiculous, you know? What happened all of a sudden in these 8 years? They had gone to mental training. Very, very similar to what we do here. You know, relax the body, relax the mind. Visualize you're running over the hurdles. See yourself breaking the tape and doing it in 9 seconds flat. Mental rehearsal at Alpha is very, very powerful.
Let's review the principles of success.
Success principle number one.
One. Know precisely what you want and have a strong desire to accomplish it. Write down your goal. Written goals are much more powerful than goals in your head only. A study of Harvard alumni 10 years after graduation found that only 3% had specific goals that were written down. Now listen to this. The people with specific but unwritten goals were earning, on average, 3 times as much as those with no goals. But the people with specific written goals were earning 10 times as much as the ones with no goals. Yes, you heard me correctly. 10 times as much. I put a page in your workbook that simply states, my specific goals, and I urge you to write down your goals today. For example, your goal is not to get a promotion, but to be the manager of that division 1 year from now. Your goal is not to take a vacation soon, somewhere nice, but a 2-week vacation in Hawaii this winter. Your goal is not to have more sales this year, but a sales increase of 33% or better.
Success principle number two.
Two. Be willing to do whatever steps are required of you to fulfill your goal, and to take actions that will propel you towards your goal, and stop doing what will take you away from your goal.
Success principle number three.
Three. Cancel out all negative thoughts along the way and maintain your belief, expectation, and positive focus on your end result. Here's how to keep your mind positive. Cancel out I can't and say I can. Cancel out I won't and say I will. Cancel out I'm not sure and say I will. Cancel out I'm afraid that to I am confident that. Cancel out I am unable to I am able. Do the same rephrasing with any other negative words or phrases you habitually use. In fact, every time a negative thought appears in your mind, shut it off by mentally or verbally saying cancel, cancel, and replace it with a positive statement.
Success principle number four.
Four, be persistent. Let me read you a quote about persistence. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. President Calvin Coolidge is the one who the statement is attributed to, and I put it in your workbook so that you can read it from time to time.
Success principle number 5.
5. Program your end result at your alpha level. By regularly listening to the special mental relaxation exercise with success imagery on site 3 of this tape set. Now let's see how these success principles work in action.
Let me tell you what one guy did who was very good in cooking a particular food. You know what he did? He took some pots and pans, threw it in the trunk of his car, and started to go from restaurant to restaurant. And he would ask them, I can make this so delicious, you guys are going to love it, you're going to want to buy lots of this from me. And 99.9% of the restaurants he would hit that way would say, go away, don't bother us, right? Once in a while, somebody says, all right, let's see what you can do. And he would cook up a batch of it, and they would give it to their customers, and the people would say, this is great food. And he would get a little contract to provide them with food. And he did that for a little while, and then the word started to spread around. Now, what is so fascinating is, this man proclaimed that he had been a bum all his life. He said he never held any job for more than 6 months. And then when he got 65, he finally retired. And then he didn't know what to do with himself. And that is when he started to make the rounds at the restaurants like that. Of course, he enjoyed cooking, you know. He really enjoyed it, and making especially this particular food. The story I just told you is the Colonel Sanders story. That is how Kentucky Fried Chicken came about. By a retired bum. Who, that's what he said. That's what he called himself. Oh! He could have done it 40 years ago, of course. But, well, I have to make a living, right? So he was a bottle washer, and he was doing this, and he was doing all these things to, well, at the age of 66. So here, you may have skills. Every person in this room has talents and skills. I don't know what area they're in, but I know that you got them. I've trained over 15,000 people. I've never met anyone who didn't have special skills or talents in some area. It's very silent in here. People say, oh, not me. What do you mean? Oh, yeah, you. You. Not somebody else, not the person next to you, you. Your job is to go through and find out what they are if you don't know already. Now, I'm not talking about special talents. I don't mean necessarily that you would make what we're talking about a great mechanical account. It could be a talent that you don't consider to be a talent. I know someone who had a wonderful talent for bringing people with differences to figure out a median ground, be a mediator. Okay? And she never thought of that as a talent. She was always the one that mediated between the family members that were fighting with each other, right? So I'm sure she's good at that. Can I do it? So I said, well, if you had a kind of a skill, there's always a market for skills, always. Just a question of finding it. So today, she's a professional mediator. She makes her living mediating. She's not a lawyer. She is mediating between people, let's say, who want a divorce and don't want to pay all the fees that normally come along with it. So she comes in, and she says, what do you want? And he says, well, I think this would be fair for both of you. She is totally impartial, right? And she's very good at being impartial. You have to be, of course. She says, I never considered it to be a marketable skill. No. There's always a market for anything. Let me ask you a question. You think she enjoys what she's doing?
Yes.
She loves it. She loves it because she had been doing it all her life for free and enjoyed it. Now she's getting paid to do it. The most important thing that you do will be the quality of your service, will be the most important ingredient, the quality of it. So quality and service. If you give superior service and quality as an auto mechanic, people will stand in line. Will they not? Is it not tough to find a good auto mechanic? Yes, it is. So if you provide top quality and top service, and you have a skill, you will never have to worry about making a living. That would better be top notch, right? I live in Orange County here, and close to where I live, about 5 minutes away, there's a restaurant. And I take the family to that particular restaurant maybe 2 or 3 times a month. I do not like to stand in line. I sometimes stand in line for this restaurant. And it is not because the food is that great. Food is not that great. But the service I receive from this particular waitress is superb. And I'm willing to wait for her station if I have to. If she comes on shift at 6 o'clock on Sunday, if you're not there at 10 to 6, you're going to have to wait at least 45 minutes. Why is that? Because she treats the people phenomenally. She first of all memorizes after the first time what everybody is drinking, whether you have tea or coffee or wine. After the second time, she knew what everybody was ordering. Would you like the steak again, or would you like something else? Would you like your omelette, or would you something else in the menu? So, been there for about 3 years. I have never seen her in a down mood. I know she's not always going to be feeling on top of the world. She's human, right? I mean, I know that there's going to be an evening when we are there that she is tired, or she had a cold, or she had an argument with her husband or her boyfriend, or her kid isn't doing well in school. Something happened, right? Her car broke down. You will never know it. She's always up, always happy, always friendly, always smiling. That is why I'm willing to stand in line, and that is why I'll tip her 25% of the bill. Wouldn't you? Yeah, you would, of course. She's almost a friend of mine now, you know. So I said, you don't have to tell me how much you make. So because it's very personal. I said, I just want to know how much more do you make than the next person in this restaurant. She gave me a big happy smile. She says, about double.
It's paying off, isn't it?
Isn't it? She's making twice as much money as the next person in that restaurant who is working the same hours, putting in the same time, going through the same thing. What a difference. Doubled her income because, let me tell you what, that lady will make a very nice living anywhere in the world. If she were to move to Alaska tomorrow, she'd do great. If she says, I'm going to live in Hawaii, no, she can go anywhere and make a good living.
It is September 1988, and Eric, a handsome 9-year-old fourth grader, brings home a pamphlet from school that reads, Olympic Reading Contest. Win a gold medal. Awarded to the student reads the most. Based on the number of pages read between September 10, 1988 and January 31, 1989. Open to 4th, 5th, and 6th graders only. Eric is a graduate of the 36-hour Silva basic course and asked my advice on how to win this contest. Well, step 1, is there a specific goal? Yes, to win a gold medal. You really want it? Yes, I really do. Okay, write down your goal in a 3x5 card and tape it on your bathroom mirror. Step 2. Be willing to do whatever is necessary. So Eric and I discussed what kind of activity his goal might require. We settled on reading at least 1 hour a day every day for the duration of the 5-month contest. Eric wrote on his card underneath his goal, I will read at least 1 hour every day. Step 3. Cancel all negative thoughts along the way. Were there doubts and fears along the way? Oh, sure, that's very normal. One fear thought Eric had was, but what if there are kids who are reading 3 or 4 hours every day? I won't have a chance. I explained to him that he was not to be concerned about that. His job was to just focus on his reading every day, and how proud he was going to be when he received his gold medal. And every time, when there were doubts and fears, the same refocusing process was to be used. Step 4, persistence. Persistence was shown by reading every day for 5 months. Step 5, program your end result at alpha on a regular basis. Eric used visualization and imagination techniques at the alpha level and mentally saw himself with a gold medal around his neck and being congratulated by his teacher. Well, here's what happened at the end of the contest. Eric won a gold medal with 32,609 pages. The runner-up amongst all the fourth graders had only 9,004 pages. Eric was also number one amongst all the fifth and sixth graders. The runner-up there was a sixth grader with 19,212 pages. How do I know all these details about Eric? Oh, that's easy. His full name is Eric DeJong. He's my son. Let me tell you about another success story that relates directly to business instead of education. A few years ago, one of our silver graduates had just started a new job as a producer and sales representative in Los Angeles at one of America's top computer graphics companies. The company had produced many of those stunning three-dimensional moving graphics and logos we see on television in commercials, station promotions, and show openings for hundreds of clients around the world, including NBC, ABC Sports, 2 Olympics, World Cup Soccer, the World Series, the Super Bowl, the Jacksons, and dozens of major corporations. After years of awards and success at the top of the field, the company had begun to fall on hard times. Dozens of competitors had appeared with newer, faster equipment and cheaper rates. Sales were down, and morale in the sales staff was very low. Instead of doing $50,000 to $75,000 a month each in billing, the salesmen were only doing $15,000 to $20,000 in billing, and one person couldn't even generate $10,000 a month. To stimulate sales and excitement, the president of the company set up a sales contest, whereby a salesperson would get a free weekend in San Francisco if he sold $100,000 in business in the next 3 months, a week in Mazatlan if they sold $200,000, and a 2-week all-expenses-paid trip to Hawaii for anyone selling $250,000 in new business in the next 3 months. The reaction was exactly the opposite to what he expected. Instead of being excited or stimulated about the contest, the 4 current salespeople were offended or even outraged. They thought the goals were impossible. They had already pre-programmed failure into their minds. They made a joke about it, complained bitterly, and even defaced the contest poster and turned it hanging face to the wall. Being brand new in the job, and with no preset limits or expectations in his mind, our silver graduate ignored all of this and made up his mind to win the contest. Having a strong sales record in other industries to spur him on, he used exactly the same silver techniques as Eric to program for the goal and went about his business fully expecting to achieve $250,000 in sales. The end result? Except for our silver graduate, no one even came close to fulfilling even the lowest goal. Before the 3 months were up, one salesman was fired for a lack of performance. Another left the company within a month. And the other two fell far short of even the $100,000 mark. And our silver graduate? Well, he met the $250,000 3-month goal with several thousand dollars to spare, won the trip to Hawaii, and pocketed a $10,000 commission check for the 3rd month alone. Better yet, one sale alone ended up bringing in over $250,000 in business and turned out to be one of the most prestigious contracts of the decade. That contract was for all the animation and appeal segments for Live Aid, which went on to be the biggest single global broadcast in the history of television up until that date. Like my son Eric, this silver graduate just used the basic silver techniques and had faith, expectation, and an intense desire to achieve his goal. Well, there you have it. This will work for you too, whether you are 9 or 99 or in between. All you need to do is to put it into practice. Let's talk about what you will experience on Site 3 and 4 of this tape set. Site 3 is called the relaxation exercise. It is a special mental training exercise designed to help you relax physically as well as mentally and help you to function at about 10 cycles per second at the middle range of the alpha brain frequency. At this inner conscious level, you can use more of your mental abilities, make better decisions, become more attuned, and become more aware. The brain has more energy at 10 cycles per second. It is more synchronized, and it can be used more effectively. You also have direct access to both the logical left and the creative right brain hemispheres. First, I'll guide you through the mental and physical relaxation portion. Then I ask you to review a recent success, and after that, to mentally create an image of a specific goal you want to achieve. On Site 4 are two 15-minute segments of pure alpha sound, with my voice at the beginning and end of each exercise.